All right, hello and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
And today we are once again going episode by episode, two at a time, through Rescue Bots Academy. We are on the second season. This is episode 13, and it is Mystery Museum. It's not quite a night at the museum, but it's a real blast from the past here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was pretty exciting, and I will be honest, it was very wholesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is first-time writer Jacob Simon, also known as Jacob Fox. This is only his first Rescue Bots Academy episode, and one of only two.
Okay.
But he has written for a bunch of other cartoons. Wrote for that 2017 Spider-Man show.
Ooh. Vaguely familiar with that existing.
Uh-huh. Avengers Assemble. That was the one that came after Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimate Spider-Man, which we watched an episode of.
Hopefully he didn't write that one.
But he did not, thankfully, watch the episode that... He did not write the episode that we watched.
Good, because it was bad.
Yes, it was. And also for Hasbro, Stretch Armstrong and the Flex Fighters, when they were really trying to make Stretch Armstrong happen.
Ooh, yeah, I vaguely remember that.
And something called Gourmeti? The hell?
I have no idea what that is.
Fudge is Gourmeti.
Gourmeti Nature Unleashed. It's like a CG thing.
Okay.
I have.
Is that on some weird network?
No idea what it is. I assumed it was some sort of dubbed anime thing.
Oh, an Italian CG animated series.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So it's like how we had sort of that French anime for a while, and now the Italians are getting into it?
Oh, man.
Yes.
So this is a world solo episode, basically.
Yeah, her and Chase. Her and her mentor Chase, her official mentor.
Yep. So she's got a wind tunnel that she's having a blast with that. And then Chase turns up and he's like, hey, you want to go for a ride along?
She says she was practicing and she crashed, and she was practicing crashing, which is actually a very important thing to do because you want to make sure that you know how to crash safely.
Mm-hmm.
She was not actually intentionally practicing crashing, but...
Now, I feel if this was like the full half hour, this could have been like a sort of comedic version of that movie Training Day. Except instead of being shocked by how like crooked and violent Denzel Washington is, she's just shocked by how like extremely square Chase is.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Dr. Morocco. I am the police. King Kong ain't got nothing on me.
Oh, Gourmeti kind of just looks like War Planets without the planet part. Anyway, stop looking in the background.
Planeties?
Yes, Planeties.
So, yeah, she's ready for an all-night stakeout, even if she has to bring the donuts, even though she does not know what donuts are.
She does not. Chase thinks they might be puffy cookies, but...
Yeah, puffy cookies or donuts, which isn't entirely wrong of a description, it's just weird. Why does Whirl Kool-Aid Man through the wall, though? She just busts through the wall because she's so excited.
Yeah, she's that excited.
How thin are the walls at the base?
So we're going to Griffin Rock, and we're going to the new Museum of Future Tech Art, or MOFTA.
MOFTA.
Which, I guess, is a play on MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's got all sorts of, like, high-tech art, and the centerpiece is Mono e Nano. which is a human-robot fist bump made entirely of nanotechnology.
It is very cute.
I think this may be a reference to the big Joe Louis fist in Detroit.
Oh, well, maybe.
Okay. And which is, you know, like, it's like a huge, like, fist and forearm. And famously, you know, the sort of thing you do in photos is, you know, you fist bump it. So, you know, its grand opening is tomorrow. And specifically, this nanotech sculpture is created by our old pal Doc Green.
Yay!
Callbacks.
Yeah. So they're putting together these security measures. We see World doing some. What was that movie called? They're with Catherine Zeta-Jones, where she's dipping under the lasers.
Oh, what the fuck?
I keep wanting to say Disclosure, but that's not it.
No. Yeah, that's the only scene anyone remembers, and it's gotten to the point I don't even remember the title of that thing. What the heck?
Entrapment.
Oh.
Oh, that's why it's one letter word. Forgettable. Or one.
And I was thinking Entourage? That's not right either.
No.
Vinny, they want to know if you're going to do the movie. So you know, she's dipping under the lasers, Zeta-Jones style. We're almost ready. And then suddenly there's a flash and the power goes out.
Dun dun dun.
Because there was lightning, thunder, very, very frightening.
And then Mono e Nano, it's gone, and there's nothing left behind but goop.
Which, like, I mean, I guess this show is for little children, but
it is for little children. No, please note that we've talked about nanotechnology, and the goop is the same color as Mono e Nano.
Yeah, the same shade of purple.
Yeah, that it's does like, kind of...
There's no mystery here.
Make one, like, clearly it just melted.
Yeah.
So we're going through the footage. We're looking for suspects. And then we find a couple. It's our old pals, Evan and Miles, the crime druids of Griffin Rock.
Yay! But they're looking much more respectable now. They're not wearing brown hoodies anymore. They're wearing, like, shirts with, like, sweaters over collared shirts.
They kind of look like they run, like, a microbrewery or something.
Yeah, I could see that.
So they go.
It is nice to see the crusty druids again, despite their voices being different, but I don't really remember what his voice was.
Yeah, it was Robbie Daymond.
The important thing is they're looking a bit more dignified now.
Yeah. I do like that they have slightly different haircuts.
Yes. Well, one of them sort of going gray around the temples.
Yeah.
I think that was just like a buzz cut on the sides.
Oh, okay.
I think.
So they go to see them, and they're all, you know, they're very respectable now. They're doing some sort of science experiments. And they were only at the museum because they thought that it was opening yesterday.
Yep, they were just confused about the opening day.
And Chase
a likely story.
Does not believe it. It's a likely story.
No, he does not believe that they have left their life of crime behind.
That's right.
Also, one of them is like, well, everybody's done things that they regret. And Chase is like, no, not me. Mm. I've always done everything by the book and above board. Like, wow, okay, calm down.
Never mind that one time that I was mayor and totally screwed up the city.
At least he only screwed up the city in proper legal law-abiding ways.
It's true. So they split up. They're going to pursue their own research. And the next night, Evan and Miles do indeed meet him at the grand opening. And he says, yeah, listen, I know the bank turned you down for a loan. So now you have the motive. And also that goop that was at the crime scene.
Oh, yeah, because
looks like the goop you were working on yesterday.
Chase has, like, a whole PowerPoint presentation with holograms.
Yes.
To lay this out.
He's Chase made little diagrams.
Chase does not believe in reformation. He just assumes that everyone who is a criminal will be criminal forever. I mean...
That's right.
On Cybertron, like, you do kind of have your set factions. And people can switch sides, but I can see this being a cultural thing where you are raised in, like, a warring state.
But, like, they were out in space doing rescue shit, frozen for who knows how long, and then they just showed up on Earth and have not encountered any Decepticons. Lucky for that, or lucky for Chase. I guess he hasn't met anyone who's switched sides.
Yeah, I guess he hasn't gone to hang out with Knockout, who switched sides at the end of Prime.
Or the Minicons.
Yes.
With a Jetstorm and...
What was Grimlock is around, maybe. Oh, I bet Chase isn't aware that Grimlock used to be a criminal.
Oh, I bet that's true.
I bet Bumblebee is like, don't mention that to Chase. Yes. He's not going to just handle it well.
Just tell him you're the other Grimlock. You won't do the math.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Grimlock in this series is different enough from Grimlock and Robots in Disguise that they might be different Grimlocks?
No, I feel, I mean, visibly, yes, but honestly, he is written like exactly the same character. Like,
yes.
Just the dialogue, yes, and the stuff he's doing just feels extremely like this is definitely 100% the same character. In a way that not even everybody does, but yeah, it's, I would say that this is unquestionably Robots in Disguise Grimlock. Just, he lost the green.
Yeah, I missed the green.
But yeah, I think Bumblebee is probably like, don't mention that you were ever a criminal to Chase, because it won't go well.
Yeah, he won't take it well. However...
But Whirl has an alternate theory of the crime, because she talked to Doc. She's brought Doc Green with her, who is voiced by a guy doing a reasonably credible... LeVar Burton impression.
Yeah. It's close for most of it.
Yes.
But like, I'm annoyed that this show switched every voice actor.
Yes.
But I was like, oh man, I miss LeVar.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was definitely above their pay grade, though.
Oh, 100%.
But yeah, I guess the guy they got doing the LeVar Burton impression as Doc Green is kind of better than, like, half of the voices in the show anyway. But
I mean, I think the voice acting on the show is reasonably good.
I've gotten used to it. Like, the kiddos are fine because they're all new.
It's, yeah, the kiddos are fine.
It's the returning characters that...
Yeah, some of the returnees are a little dubious.
Yeah. Chase actually might be the best.
He's pretty good.
Maybe. I mean, of course, it's just be stiff and it works.
So Doc Green explains that the whole thing is a big misunderstanding. It was just the lightning strike caused the Manoe Nano to melt back into its component state. And it's just, nobody stole it, it just melted.
You gotta try turning it off and on again.
Yep. He did not take into account that it might lose power, and yeah, it just turned into gray goo, except it's purple. So purple goo.
Yes.
Which sounds like something that should be obvious, but at the same time, it's like, oh yeah, that's totally a Doc Green line of thought. He would forget that power might go out.
Oh, right.
So now, Chase actually has to apologize, and all is well.
He does. He does apologize. Oh. I'm very glad that Evan and Miles have turned their lives around and are now pursuing their local town's favorite pastime, doing weird experiments.
Mm. Wait, is this in Griffin Rock?
It is.
Okay. Is it the show? Every once in a while, it's hard to tell. Wait, where are they? But I guess, yeah, maybe they did say they were in Griffin Rock.
All right. And in fact, our next episode is also taking us to Griffin Rock. That is Shall We Dance? First aired May 30th, 2020. Written by Danny Stack. Last seen in these parts right in Trick or Treat, the Halloween episode.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was he or the animators who put in that weird Fist of the North Star reference in that one.
There were so many references in that. Like, I don't know. Half of my figure were probably him. Half was the animator just fucking around. Because I'd also have Godzilla and Gamera and other things that weren't on the wiki.
But they are now. Thank you, David.
They are now. But man, like that Fist of the North Star reference was so obvious. It's like, how is that not there?
Am I
the only one that watches anime? I know I'm not the only one that watches anime on the wiki.
Is Fist of the North Star like a big anime? I mean, I've heard of it, but I've certainly never seen it.
It's pretty big, yeah.
There have been like 4 different anime adaptations of it.
It's definitely
movies.
Like in that older classic anime, like 90s VHS tape era of anime.
But it does keep coming back. There's a current one now with a really bad dub, and it's CG animated, so it looks a bit off, and people are not like vibing with it. But about 4 or 5 years ago, there was a Switch game about boxing that was like an exercise game that is Fist of the North Star themed, and I have that. I haven't used to play that.
Now, that's the one where he punches guys and they explode, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. You punch them just right, and then their heads explode.
Amaru amo shinderu.
Well, no heads will be exploding in this episode.
No.
So we are in the danger room. We're in like a ruined building, and we're trying to rescue Tough Luck Chuck.
How many times are they going to be rescuing people from crumbling jungle ruins?
Well, it's
if they happen to go to Doradus.
There is that. Or also if they have to rescue like Chief Burns' brother.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, that's a character I do not want to see come back without being Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be rough.
Yeah.
Having him as just like B-list Mark Hamill, not the same.
I mean, okay, granted, there are a lot of people who do a Mark Hamill impression. I figured it out by accident.
Of course, a lot of people doing like Joker Mark Hamill, not like regular Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Well, if you do Emperor Palpatine for 2 hours and your voice wears out, it ends up in Mark Hamill. I've discovered.
Ooh.
Now, remember that episode when I was so pissed off at the last Star Wars movie?
It turns out they lack the agility and to rescue Tough Luck Chuck here. So Cody decides that, hey, you guys need ballet lessons.
Oh, so Cody's gay. Okay.
I was thinking, like, Cody's seen a lot of 80s TV.
I mean, that's fair, too. Both of those interpretations of this are fair.
Or, that has to come up in some hockey movies, doesn't it?
I know there's one where, like, a hockey player gets banned from hockey, so he becomes, like, the ice dance partner of a figure skater.
Hmm.
That's, The Cutting Edge.
Oh.
Classic, ice-based rom-com.
I've definitely heard of that.
I want to say D.B. Sweeney is the guy, and I can't think of the one. It's maybe Christy Swanson or something like that. Ooh. Anyway. So Cody tries, but he cannot teach them to dance.
No. An effort is made.
Yes. So instead, we're going to the Griffin Rock Ballet School. Which is, it's in a real dump.
Yeah, it's in, like, an old... Like, I was wondering for a moment if the teacher that they were after was going to be a ghost. Like, a Victorian ghost.
Yes.
Considering how much of a dump this place looks, yeah, that would have made sense, but...
Well, no. And she speaks in French, and also she speaks in, like, rhyme.
Yes. I...
Yeah.
Like, she's Etric and the Demon.
I mean, she's not entirely speaking in rhyme. It seems like this is just like a mnemonic, like, okay, thing that you use for learning the dance poses.
Yeah, honestly, it kind of felt like she was just reciting things that are standard in ballet things.
That we would know, because none of us have taken ballet.
No.
Unless some of us have taken ballet, and I was not aware of it.
No.
Definitely not. So they're trying to, you know, they're getting ready for a fundraiser so they can actually raise money to you know, practice somewhere that isn't a total death trap.
As we will learn, is important.
So she's pairing them up with her, like, child charges. And the others are starting to get it, and Medix is extremely not getting it.
I'm going to grasp at representation straws one more time and point out that everyone gets opposite gender partners except for Hoist.
Oh. Huh.
Just putting that out there.
And so he's just not, you know, he is, like, again, we're sort of, Medix is sort of neuroatypical coded.
Yeah. So he's doesn't think this is logical. He thinks that this is silly. It's not clicking with him. He does not care for it.
No, and he's getting embarrassed, and so he just sort of, you know, leaves in a snit, and he does not notice that there is water that is dripping onto a circuit panel, and pretty soon this building is engulfed in flames.
No! You would think that, I mean, the building did have some pretty condemned vibes already, so that's...
Yes, and dripping ceiling in various places, buckets laying around.
I'm kind of surprised that they were hosting a children's class in here.
Yes. Like, at the very least, these kids are going to get tetanus.
This really looks like you should be, you know, filming, I don't know, Escape from New York in here, not a ballet class.
Yeah.
So they get everybody out. Hotshot puts the fire out, but they're missing somebody. That's
Well, then they didn't get everybody there. They didn't count children before running away.
No, but it was Medix's partner, so he's really got to go in. So he is trying to get her out of there, but she, this floor collapses, so there's like this collapsed land bridge, Beast Wars style, between the two of them. So many land bridges on that show.
So many.
Yeah. We should have kept a running count.
Oh.
There's a place like that a bit to the south of me that I should really go to that's literally just called, like, Natural Bridge Park.
Oh.
And then I can, I don't know, like, pretend that I'm Dinobot fighting with Optimus Primal. I'll take a sword.
But will it rotate?
I rotate blade.
So Medix is able to ballet himself over there. Well, yeah, able to persuade himself to jump across this gap and thankfully not have his robot weight set the building crumbling into a pile of timbers.
Which, a little surprising, but okay. I'll suspend my disbelief here.
And then, of course, this fundraiser is really off because now they need even more money. And also, they can't have the performance there because it has now been condemned.
But they can have the performance at the Academy.
That's right.
Which, did they, like, ground bridge everyone there? Because I assume the recruits...
I have big questions about where the... Like, we know the Academy was set up outside of Griffin Rock. Like...
Right.
Somewhere in Maine or elsewhere, possibly with palm trees. But so they had to have ground bridged people there from Griffin Rock? What? Is that a common occurrence?
I mean, I guess if they need to use it for something, then they can just bring them on over.
Yeah.
Admittedly, like, these last two episodes, we've seen the kiddo bots interact with more people than we have in quite a while.
Well, and it is Griffin Rock, so all these people do know the whole deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd say that this is not an uncommon occurrence.
They just have people come over.
Yes. So, and hey, Medix isn't watching the performance. He's a part of it.
Yay! Because he figured it out. He got the hang of it. Good job.
So, you know, once more, cute pair of episodes. I definitely liked the museum one the best because Whirl is one of the standouts of the cast. And I really like the Rescue Bots callbacks.
Yeah, I like that we got to see the reformed, I guess not druids anymore because they're not wearing these weird robe-like brown hoodies.
That's right.
They did have brown sweaters on, though. I did notice that.
Yeah, they kept the color scheme.
Yes. but looking much more respectable now.
I think they're just hipsters now.
Yeah.
They've gone from stealing science stuff to working in STEM fields, which is kind of neat. Especially if you're on Griffin Rock with science shit
there. That's what they do. That's the local culture.
I almost feel like we've had too many medics episodes lately. Like, he's my favorite one of the kiddos, but like... You're writing too many about him, maybe.
I mean, I guess he's...
What about Wedge?
He's one of the easier ones to write about because he's got some real issues.
Yeah, he is definitely the easiest to, like, come up with a conflict for.
Yes.
Because really, well, the
world's also kind of easy because she's a little bizarre also.
Yeah, because the conflict is medics do a normal thing and then he cannot.
Yeah.
Medics be normal challenge.
Well, you can do that with almost all of them. I mean, you have, what is it? A Hoist with his fear of dinosaurs and shit. You can work something into that. Have him in a museum episode. Like, aversion therapy. Here's some skeletons.
Oh, no, skeletons. I mean, we already had him having to work with multiple Dinobots.
Yeah.
It's true.
I do think that this season we could use some more Wedge and Hoist episodes.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't... Have we had a Wedge episode yet? Really?
Well, good news, because next time we're getting a Hotshot episode.
Okay.
And then a Wedge episode.
Oh, that's good.
I guess we can have a Hotshot episode.
The first season, I think, was stacked with Hotshot episodes, so eventually we should go back to him.
I mean, Hotshot definitely thinks he's the main character, and the show sometimes thinks he's the main character.
Well, yeah, early in the first season, like, because he was the introduced character, like, he was sort of the main character-ish, but that has long since faded away.
It said, yeah, he's the one who got the special thing where he could transform into anything. That's extremely main character.
Oh, that's true. That's true. He does have that, which does make him the main character.
Yes. Hmm. But yes, we are definitely... Like I said, I mean, it does... Medics is one who's easy to come up with a conflict for a plot for.
Yes.
And then Whirl is also fairly easy, but Wedge and Hoist are a little harder to find a good core conflict for your story.
Mm-hmm.
Hotshot's conflict is just, like, his own hubris.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every conflict in a Hotshot episode is just Hotshot versus Hotshot. Hotshot versus his own worst tendencies.
I mean, the show kind of doesn't have them, but Hotshot also works well for B-plots.
Yes.
As far as they go. It has a series of gags based around him in the background.
Yeah, these episodes are not long enough for much in the way of B-plots, sadly.
Yeah.
Nope. All right. Well,
I have
that
a little kitten attacking all my cables. He's just going to chew my cables. It's fine. He's a baby.
I have a cat in a window because I opened the windows because it's a little warm in here. I got to go check the temperature.
He's a baby. Anyway.
So that'll do it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with more exciting Rescue Bots Academy action. And, of course, until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Facebook. We are on Blue Sky. We are on Mastodon. And we have a Patreon.
We're still on Facebook?
I think we're technically still on Facebook.
I'm going to have to look into that. Because also, I'm thinking that I need to let David take over some of our... not, like, fully take over, but assist with some of our socials.
Okay.
Because I'm like, not on them enough, and you are on them constantly.
Kind of, unfortunately, yes. The main thing is, like, when the new episode comes out, I post in, like, 5 or 6 different Discords and make sure to retweet things.
I mean, I'm still going to post the new episode posts, but I think that having you, like, with access to the account to repost things like news and art and stuff that you come across... Whereas
that'd probably be a good idea, because I like to retweet art.
Whereas I am not coming across that stuff very often, because mostly I just go to Blue Sky right now to see if anybody's Lyokaiser has shipped yet.
No, I go looking for art.
Soon.
Oh, yeah, Lyokaiser. Yeah, well, maybe by the time this episode comes out.
Oh, man. Soon, fingers crossed.
Hopefully we're back on schedule.
But yeah, I will see about setting us, because you are... you're definitely on Blue Sky more than I am.
I try, well, because I've broken the Twitter thing mostly, although every once in a while somebody links something and I go over there to favorite it, but mm-hmm. no, I'm usually on Blue Sky, kind of. I still prefer Mastodon.
Yeah, I will more see there. About setting our Facebook back up, though, because I am seeing more fan activity over on my Facebook account that's not under my legal name now.
Okay.
Because I work at the government.
Right.
We used to have a Tumblr. I don't remember the login.
Yeah, I probably have that login somewhere.
I mean,
oh, you might.
Does anybody use Tumblr anymore?
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, I think it's come back post the no nudity bit.
Okay.
It's not at its peak anymore, but I think it's relatively active these days.
Look.
Yeah, so we will see about resurrecting the socials a little bit, because on the subject of the Patreon, it's lagging a little bit behind our hosting costs, so I'm paying also, a little bit out of pocket now.
When was the last time we updated our webpage? Did we ever put bios up there?
I will work on that too. Yeah, the Patreon sort of falling off a little bit under that threshold is like, yeah, I need to get us out there a little more. We need to get out there a little more. For Patreon, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon to help with our hosting expenses at patreon.com/iaconunderground. For March, and it did come out on for April, I'm like, what month is this? You know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot in the world. For April, which came out like a day or so into May, which is fine, because it was a lot. It was a solid like 2-hour episode.
Yeah, it was a long edit.
Y'all finally made me watch the 2003 Daredevil movie in honor of the new episode or the new season of the series. And yeah, that was more Evanescence than I needed.
It was more Evanescence than anybody needed.
The sad thing was I was trying to keep an eye out for it on like an older format, because I am known to enjoy some older formats because I have the heart of a junkie on. And I could not find it, and I ended up acquiring it through questionable means as a Blu-ray version, which did have the Snoop Dogg cut.
The Coolio cut.
Coolio cut, that's right. Did have the Coolio cut, which is important because that was like actually a significant plot thing that they really should have left in. But like the week after we recorded it, I went into a card shop in town that I hadn't gone into before, and they had just gotten a big bookcase full of VHS, hadn't even priced it yet, and they had Daredevil as like one of the tapes there. I was like, well, here it is. It's too late for me. It's $4. They want $4 for it. And I'm still like, that's too much. It's too much to pay for that movie. It's on the long list of stuff from there that I'd like to pick up at some point. But yes, I was finally subjected to that movie, which I'm like, I don't know that was what was going on that I didn't see that movie in the theater, because that definitely seems like a movie that I would have seen in the theater at the time, but I had not actually seen it, which is fine because it was terrible.
It doesn't
have a plot. Just things just happen.
No, without. You cut Coolio out and there's no plot.
Yeah, it's just a series of events. And Evanescent songs.
Yes. Well, don't worry,
you
because...
You can't just have two of them in a row.
No, yeah, that's a failure too.
Well, don't worry, because this month, we haven't decided what we're going to do yet, but it's looking like we're going back to Eternia with that new He-Man movie coming out.
I think we should do Secret of the Sword.
Ooh.
Is that, like, feature length, though?
I mean, it's like, I'm doing air quotes here, it's because of podcast, but it's feature length.
Feature length. Okay. So, yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards that. I think we could do that. But we could also do like...
An hour and 40 minutes? What? Is that long? That can't be right.
I know it's on YouTube.
I did, speaking of the VHS selection at that card shop, I did snag a copy of My Little Pony, the movie, from there on VHS today.
Future episodes, stay tuned.
Yeah. Yes. I saw that in the theater.
Ooh.
And I saw the trailer for Transformers the movie for the first time before that in the theater.
Ooh.
So that was very exciting. I remember that to this day. I did not then get to see Transformers the movie because in the theater because like I was the only one who wanted to go see it and everyone else was girls. But I did get to rent it like as soon as it came out on home video. So that was fair. Probably on Betamax, because I think we still had the Betamax player at that time. I would like to find a copy of it on Betamax at some point. And then also at some point I would like to get a working Betamax player. But anyway, the important thing is we are going to watch some sort of He-Man nonsense, and yes. It's going to be great. Maybe we'll pull out some new adventures.
Ooh.
Well, maybe we'll watch that one episode of Princesses of Power where they're doing the role-playing stuff, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, there's that.
We'll see if we have time for an entire feature-length thing.
Let us know. Hit us up on our social media, and let us know what man of he you want us to examine.
Yes, we are at Iacon Underground everywhere. The Daredevil one is definitely worth listening to just for the complaints about meth head bullseye.
All right. So until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I have the power. I'm David. We'll be right back.